see the script, but I've no doubt if it isn't up to par, they'll chuck it out. Ooh la 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 la. All my actor friends are cracking wise, but I can see the envy in their eye. Ooh la 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 la. Now I'm suffocating in the makeup chair underneath the quarter glue and a bag of hair. I'm a looking like an overgrown shih tzu. Somehow I always knew I'd be a teen wolf too.
I can fucking Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
Those Burgersons. I forget their name. Belchers. Belchers. I was trying to imagine how that family would be like as grown-ups, like in the future.
Right.
I was trying to create. I was thinking about my own fan comic that I would make.
Okay.
Of you know,
of the sequel, Bob's Burgers
the sequel, and
yes.
how the kids
the
would
all grown
be,
up to Bob's
yeah,
Burgers.
Yeah, and I figured that Louise is a con artist,
okay.
/ semi vagrant.
Mm-hmm.
Who's living with the... And then, of course, it's contrived why all three of them need to move back in with the parents, right?
Right.
So
you're doing a... what was the sequel to that sitcom with... What's his face? God. Fuller House. You're
right,
trying to
right,
do Fuller
right.
House.
Just contriving
Bob's
why
Burgers.
They all need
yeah.
to get back together.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she needs... For money troubles.
Yeah.
And maybe hide out from
Does
the police.
Does she still wear a bunny hood?
Oh, right. Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
I feel like she does.
In some regard.
There's
yeah.
some contrived reason why she still has a bunny hood.
Yeah, or maybe it's like it's become rags and she just like wears it around her neck or something.
Okay, I like that. Know? Yeah, like updated.
Or like a, yeah, a hand.
Yeah.
Bandana or something. But Tina is married to a woman and she's like,
ooh.
She's like a very, like she wears Chris, she's like... That's her thing. She sells crystals to people.
Of course she
And she's
does.
Like a sex therapist.
Of course
she's
she
all about, you know, like being one with your body
wait,
and
wait.
Your spiritual
Tina
energy.
Is?
Tina is.
Okay, good.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
sorry. Not the wife.
No, yeah, Tina, the teen.
Yeah.
I figured like, yeah, she'd have a wife.
No, yeah.
She's probably bi. She probably has a wife, though.
I agree
it just
with
felt,
you.
It felt right.
Yeah.
Very in tune with her,
self
and very like, you know, new agey.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is like she definitely wears a crystal around her neck. And
yes.
that's her job is maybe sex therapist or maybe just like new agey something like crystal seller something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't really know what Jean's deal is.
I mean, musician.
Yeah,
but like failed musician, maybe like
maybe.
Like street musician.
Yeah, we seem more weird than he was into
yeah.
music.
I guess so.
Know? But yeah, Bob's Burgers, good stuff.
Welcome. To Fan Fiction Writer's Room. The writer's room for fan fiction. I am your editing manager, Spencer Suarez.
And I'm your managing editor, Liz Cernick. As you can see, we really love cartoons a lot. Maybe too much?
We like talking about stuff.
We think about them a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which will serve us well for this podcast.
Yeah, because...
What we do is think about cartoons too
much. What is fan fiction? But thinking about a character too much to the point where
yeah.
you make up your own adventure with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This week our characters are... Oh, no. Oh, here they are. This week our characters are Homestar Runner.
Mm.
Thank you, Bahar. Walter White. Thank you, Hey There Tyler on Twitter.
At Hey There Tyler.
At Hey There Tyler.
Mm, interesting.
Dick Cheney. Thank you, Gemma. The Super Strikers.
Oh, yes. Strike Us.
Strike Us.
Super Strike Us.
Thank you, Wesley. And Jack Skellington. Thank you, Julia. So, let's...
Okay, so Jack Skellington is the main character from Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Most people probably know who he is. He's the Pumpkin King.
He is the Pumpkin King.
Walter White is the main character from
Breaking Bad. Homestar Runner is the main character from Homestar Runner.
Younger listeners might not be super familiar with Homestar Runner.
Homestar Runner is...
He's pretty legacy by this
yeah.
point. He's the internet cartoon guy.
Let's break down all of the characters a little bit. Let's mm-hmm. just, like, try to define who they are,
yeah.
what their personality is.
Especially since Super Strike Us,
yes.
nobody will know. So,
exactly.
well, you know.
So Jack Skellington, what I would say his defining characteristic is, like, having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
His whole deal...
It's not so much he wants to steal Christmas as much as that's a conduit for him to act out his dissatisfaction with his own life.
Yes. It's a story about someone who...
He's the king of Halloween.
He's the king of Halloween. You know, he... Everyone in Halloween Town worships him as the one who makes Halloween happen. Mm. And he is just not satisfied anymore. He's
tired of
Halloween
all the scariness.
Halloween is boring to him.
Ghouls and goblins.
But of course, his ignorance around what Christmas is...
Mm-hmm. Oh, gets him into some wacky shenanigans.
I tell you what.
Very musical shenanigans.
He thinks Santa Claus, get this, is called Sandy Claus.
Oh, man.
And he thinks he has claws for hands.
Oh, that's so wrong.
It's so wrong.
What a card. What a character. Oh, boy. Walter White just loves meth.
He loves it. Walter White, I would say, is defined by his ego. He's a
math teacher who gets cancer.
Chemistry teacher.
He's a chemistry teacher who gets cancer, can't pay for his cancer treatment, so he turns to dealing drugs to raise enough money for
making drugs.
Using his chemistry knowledge.
Yeah. He eventually deals drugs.
Meth.
But the idea is that he...
Oh, he makes it for people then to deal.
Yes.
Or at least that's how he gets into the game, and then he slowly turns into...
The dealer.
The drug king.
Yes. And his whole deal is he's kind of living in the shadows of... We find out early on...
He's got his alias, like a double life, very much a double life thing, where he's called Heisenberg.
Heisenberg is his alias.
Is there a first name to that, or is it just
Heisenberg? No, Heisenberg is like his cool, like his Madonna.
Okay.
Is Madonna's name Madonna? Sure,
I don't imagine
Madonna.
So. I don't know what her real name is, but I don't imagine it's Madonna.
Okay.
No.
So, shouts out to Madonna if you're listening. We find out that he had a partner back when he was in his 20s, and they discovered some chemistry thing.
Ooh.
That, and then they had a spat over a woman.
Ooh.
And he left the company that discovered this chemistry thing, and that chemistry thing went on to make billions of dollars.
Oh, no.
And so, not only is he, like, a poor chemistry teacher, he is living in the shadow of, like, the billions
what
of dollars.
Could have been.
What could have been. And so, like, as much as he is telling himself, I am doing this for my family, for to fund my cancer treatment. Really, he is in a quest for glory.
That's right.
So he is an ego-driven character.
Mm-hmm.
And Homestar Runner from the HomestarRunner.com series of web shorts from the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Homestar Runner...
Also, just... In a very ego-driven character.
Yes.
In a very intense quest for glory.
Yeah. He's the greatest athlete.
Yeah.
The world's greatest athlete.
And he cannot find his hat. He needs to discover
where his hat is at.
Where his hat is at.
It was next to the cold ones.
Actually, no. He is a very silly, mind of a child style, wacky character with a wacky lisp. I guess.
Is it a lisp? I guess it's
Stwombe.
A lisp.
He presses his R's as W's.
Yeah.
It's me, Homestar Runner.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We're doing, like, early Homestar. I guess that one's easier to do.
Yeah.
The later Homestar became more...
Gets more nuanced,
sophisticated,
perhaps.
But it's, I mean...
As sophisticated as Homestar Runner can be.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a very wacky, random fella. He just loves life, and he loves his friends, and just wants to have a good time.
I also would say you're not wrong about Homestar being ego, not ego driven, but like there's a certain like.
I would say id driven. He does where his mind tells him to go.
Yeah, but he also.
And he pours Mountain Dew on your keyboard.
His stupidity, he doesn't realize he's dumb and is through that, he does stupid things and thinks he's right the whole time.
Yeah.
He has a not an ego about him as much as he's like doesn't a confidence to his stupidity.
Ah, yes. Yeah. He's just not much bothered.
He's not much bothered
by what you or the world thinks.
Yeah. He'll write cool tapes on your wall.
That's right.
And he won't think it's a dumb thing.
Mm-mm.
He'll just do it.
Because he loves cool tapes.
He loves cool tapes.
Who doesn't love cool tapes? I had some very cool tapes when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I had, like, the Aqua tape.
Oh, such a good tape.
Really good, yeah.
Not...
I can't think of any others. Probably Backstreet Boys.
I mean...
Oh, I definitely had some Mr. Dress-Up tapes.
Okay, that's a pretty cool tape.
Because I went to Mr. Dress-Up live.
Right.
And I got a tape.
There was nothing...
he sang some cool songs about his tickle trunk.
Nothing better than going to a live show and then buying the tape afterwards.
That's right, the cool tape.
The cool tape. And listening to that tape and being like, yeah. I went to that live show.
Yeah.
Dinosaur Land?
It was like Walking with Dinosaurs?
No.
Oh.
There was a theme park in British Columbia.
Ooh.
Called Dinosaur Land. And I think it was called Dinosaur
Land.
Like
all about fossils and stuff?
Sort of. The thing was, it used to be a Flintstones theme park.
Oh.
But they lost the license to Flintstones.
Oh. And they had all these extra dinosaurs lying around.
So they just made it a dinosaur theme park.
That's too funny.
And,
oh, man.
And they, like, so there was the stage show with all these dinosaurs. And that was the thing. It was like, I don't even remember what all the dinosaurs were. But I remember buying the tape. And there was a song called, it was like a sitcom style stage show.
Oh.
So there were... two parents. I guess it was kind of like Dinosaurs, the
like
TV
show. Like
the TV
show, yeah, yeah.
But not quite. It
but
was
it wasn't
a little
exactly
more,
the same.
Yeah. I would say it was simpler as much as, like,
Well, I mean, it had to be a live show, so.
Yeah. I know that Dinosaurs, the TV show, wasn't the most complex show.
But it at least wasn't specifically
Who's
for
the
children.
Mommy?
It wasn't specifically
yeah.
for young children.
Exactly. And there was a song that went... Kids grow up too fast. Kids grow up too fast. And, I mean, that's all
that
I remember.
Really great.
So, yeah, it was so good.
And really relevant to,
yeah.
like, the issues that would have been surrounding you
oh,
at the time.
It was a show, you know how, like, DreamWorks movies have, like, jokes for parents in them?
Yeah.
It was like that, because, like, all the parents could relate to their kids growing up too fast.
That's right.
So, yeah. And at some point, I got, I was pulled on stage.
Awesome!
To play Rockin' Rex, who was the rock star that the kids looked up to.
Oh my god!
And
that's so cool.
I wore a backwards hat and sunglasses, and I...
You got to be part of the show!
I got to be part of the
oh
show, and they gave me, like, a toy guitar that I got
that
to...
rules.
Yeah. And at
ultimate.
One point, I got on my knees to, like... rock out on my guitar, and one of the performers in their dinosaur costume picked me up, like, didn't pick me up over, but was just like,
oh no, you
probably,
fell.
Probably, yeah, I think that's what it was, and it was like, no, I'm...
scuff his knees.
Yeah, exactly. This is worried about me, this performer in their dinosaur costume.
Oh, man.
I don't exactly
I got
know...
liability issues.
How we got onto this.
Yeah. So live performances, very good. Oh, cool tapes.
Cool tapes.
Homestar Runner likes
Homestar
cool tapes.
Runner
and
likes
we also
cool
like
tape.
Cool tapes.
We also like cool
so
tapes. And
time.
I had the cool tape from this dinosaur
right.
show, and I listened to Kids Grow Up Too Fast all the time, because it was my favorite song. Dick Cheney. How are we going to do Dick Cheney?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Dick Cheney. I tried to look up anything about him, but like... a politician has way too much stuff going
yeah.
on. Like, I'm not going to actually read about all of
okay.
these, like, Middle East crises slash political decisions. All I know is that he once accidentally shot someone in the face with
yes.
hunting, like, buckshot. And that's the end.
The cartoonified version of Dick Cheney that I grew up with was George W. Bush was a big dummy.
Right.
And Dick Cheney was the manipulator who made...
ooh, the man
George
the
Bush
shadows.
Feel like he was smart. Feel like all the decisions were his, but it was actually Dick Cheney pulling the strings.
Ooh.
That is the 2000s Flash cartoon inspired
okay. yeah.
Version of Dick Cheney.
Little Baby
that
Spencer's
yes.
Abridged version of
for
politics.
Some reason was watching political cartoons as a baby.
I'm sure like Newgrounds had a bunch of like,
oh yeah,
George W. Bush, what a dummy.
Newgrounds was super cartoons. Into George W. Bush, yeah, for some reason. I mean, I guess that was just the 2000s at the time.
Yeah.
You know, you put a conservative government in power and...
With a wacky...
Some young people got some things to say about it.
That's right.
Would you like to talk about the Super Strikers?
The creme de la creme.
The creme de la creme.
What we've been, building up to is to tell you all about the Super Strikers. This very, very good property from Africa. It is a... Not superpowered, but like... definitely super skilled soccer team. They are a cartoon soccer team.
Yes.
It started out as a comic book in Nigeria, actually, and then it was bought by a South African property, so it became a South African soccer team.
So you did more research on the Super Strikers than you did on Dick Cheney?
A little more. Just okay. A little more.
Just a little more.
See, a single cartoon property is a little easier to look up than an entire politician's career.
Yeah.
I literally looked up the Wikipedia for Dick Cheney, and like it was so involved.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want the greatest hits, stupid, like, weirdest moments from his career. But like,
right. You wanted to watch the video where George Bush tried to open the door and he couldn't open the door, and
I
it was like, oh, Georgie.
I don't even know what you're referencing.
You don't remember when he tried to open the door?
There was a lot of silly moments from a lot of silly politicians.
He couldn't open it.
Anyways, so the Super Strikers, they are... So they're a cartoon property. They're a comic book about this, like, super-duper... soccer team. They're part of the Super League rather than like the regular soccer league, and they have players from all over the world, and it's very like X-Men-ish where there's like the wacky Australian who's a surfer and like the German guy with the wacky accent or whatever, but it eventually did get picked up as a cartoon series as well in I think 2012 or 2011. But basically what it is like Gem and the Holograms if Gem and the Holograms weren't a band, but were instead a soccer team.
It's a great show.
it's the best show. I gotta say, watching a couple episodes, I was like, this is my new favorite show of all time.
The best, like, a Monster of the Week TV show where the monster is an opposing soccer team?
Yeah.
Is very good.
And exactly like Gem and the Holograms, where, like, they have the evil opposing, like, band that, like, kidnaps people and tries to murder people and like super weird stuff. Like they have the evil soccer teams that like do anything to win, and they literally like give one of the like they give the goalie a concussion and he gets amnesia and they like send him on a bus to the wrong city and he's lost in this city and it's like, what are you doing?
They hire a cat burglar to break into
the good character's super secret
headquarters.
Like, their top super technical training facility and learn all their secrets. Oh, it's so good. The animation is super limited, but it does that thing that anime does where every scene is super garbage, and then there's like one or two scenes that are like super amazing animation where they pour all their money into it. Except instead of super cool martial arts fights, it's crazy ass soccer moves, which are actually pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing all these, like, juggling with soccer balls, and it's like, oh yeah, no, that's really how you do that. It's pretty neat. And they, like...
There's a certain...
They're all playing on real positions on the team and, like, doing actual soccer.
Is some love in the show.
Very much a love letter to soccer.
You'd think that a show like this would be a cynical cash grab. But no, there is some love in it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Quite surprised with Super Strikers.
Yeah. I was reading about it, too. I ended up reading this article by this Nigerian writer, actually, who was writing specifically
about... I read so much about Dick Cheney.
Good. So you'll have the Dick Cheney side of things covered, and I'll have the Super Strikers.
Yeah.
But I read it with this Nigerian writer who was a kid growing up in Nigeria who loved comics, and he was like, oh, and it was so amazing when the Super Strikers came around, and like there was this person that looked like me and all my friends, and it was like, and his name was Segun, and like that's a real name that I know, and it, like his Sigs,
that's very sweet,
Sigs for short, and like, and he was like, oh, I was so cool, and it was like. And I think to this day, like, the comic is one of the single most distributed comics in the world.
Oh!
Because comics in the West have kind of, like, fallen out of favor.
Yeah.
But, like, there's this really special hyper-local thing to African countries where it's
right.
like, these...
Well, it's funny.
And they're all super into soccer, like football, right?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
It makes sense to make a football... super football show.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
In Africa, in Europe. Uh-huh. Where... And it's funny how... Just to bounce off that point, where North America, we think so much of comic books as superheroes, mm-hmm. where all over the world, comic books are so diverse, with, like,
yeah.
the DuckTales, or it wasn't...
Right, yeah, the Scrooge McDuck comics
being
in Europe and in Scandinavia.
Hugely popular to mm-hmm. the point where they don't read superhero comics, they read DuckTales or Scrooge
right.
McDuck Adventures.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that is so different than our experience, where, like,
yeah.
I would, and much rather have read Scrooge McDuck comics than Superman growing up, but we had Superman, which was fine. Superman's great.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Superman, but
I wonder if, like, superhero fans in Sweden or something are like, oh, I'm so sick of all these mainstream big two, and their big two is, like, the Mickey Mouse comics or the Scrooge McDuck comics.
Right, yeah.
I just want some, like, simple, interesting adventure stories about, like, Superman and Batman. Instead of all these Donald Duck comics taking over the industry. Oh my god.
The worst.
Anyway, so the Super Strikers. Let me introduce you to the Super Strikers.
Do you have all the Super Strikers memorized?
I do.
Wow.
So the main character is Shakes. Of course. I'm not sure if he's still ethnically Nigerian. I think he's ethnically South African.
Okay, they switched it for the show.
Yeah, but a black South African.
So we're going to... I mean, both of us watched
from
the cartoon... Both of us watched the cartoon, so we'll go with the cartoon
version, so we're going with
instead
the cartoon
of the comic
canon.
Book version.
Yes. So, Shakes, main character, youngest player on the team. He mm-hmm. is one of the strikers for the team, which is the forward who scores the goals, who shoots into the goal. And he's just, like, a good-natured, all-around, personable fella.
Yes.
Just wants the best for his team. Really passionate, really just into soccer.
Yeah.
Very talented. Yeah. Kind of friends with everybody on mm-hmm. the team.
Mm-hmm. Nice guy.
Yes. And the other striker on the team, his sort of partner in crime, is El Matador.
El Matador is very good.
Yes. I think he's from Spain. He's from Madrid, Spain, actually.
Okay.
And he's kind of the wacky fella. He gets into all kinds of shenanigans.
He fancies himself a playboy.
Yes, yeah. He thinks he's the best. He is not afraid to let everyone know it. Yeah, he's the punchline of the show.
Oh, for sure.
Seems to be. Yeah.
I was very confused watching it where they went to Mexico and there was a joke where El Matador looked at a donkey and was like, "That's a weird looking cow." And Shakes was like, "El Matador, that's a donkey." And I messaged my South African friend to be like, "Are there not donkeys in Africa? In South Africa?" Because, like, it was such a weird joke that I, like, had a moment of, like, maybe that's based off something.
Right? Yeah, I also looked that up because of that joke. But no, like, I even looked it up and, like, there's specific donkeys in Spain, in Catalan.
Yeah,
and, like,
of course there
all
are.
All over the place. And, like, I guess the joke was just, he's a dummy.
He's a dummy. Doesn't know what a donkey is.
Yeah, but he also has a big old buddy named Block, who is from a tiny country in, like, the Soviet Union, or like, a made-up country that's, like, just a stand-in for Russia. It's, like, Borozhkovina or something.
Okay.
I can't tell if he just has a speech disorder, or if he just has a really heavy accent, but he doesn't speak. He just grunts like Frankenstein.
Okay. I'm imagining he's supposed to be, like, dumb, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
but
the
then
thing.
There's a very weird episode,
he's
and I imagine
he's
this
a moose from Archie Comics.
Yes, I imagine this is super, like, non-canon. Like, it's just from the cartoon show, but there is an episode where his brother appears on one of their rival teams.
Wow, you watched so
and
much more of this than
I watched
I did.
A lot of it, and the American team that cheats a lot and uses... not Cosmos, but the Technicali, who use a lot of technology.
Okay.
So not the one you're thinking of, not the bad guys that we of the episodes we watched, but
okay.
another bad guy team.
Right.
Uses technology to win, and they recruited Block's brother, whose name was Attack, who was a forward. Block is a
I
defender, and his brother is a forward,
I
and so it.
It
was very opposite kind of thing. But he got a translator collar
okay.
put on so he could talk to his teammates, without interruption. And then
what?
And okay. then they were like, yeah, and it was like, what? Does he just not speak English? I thought he just had us. And then Block on the good guy team was like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And apparently Shakes can understand it, but no one else can. So Shakes was just translating for Block. And Block's like,
so Block is Pikachu and Shakes is Ash.
Apparently. Like, what? He just like, rah, rah, like he's literally Frankenstein. That's but Shakes so can understand funny. Him. So he was like, rah, 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 rah. And Shakes is like, oh, can I get a, he says, can I get a translator collar too? So they buy one of these fancy translator collars.
Wow.
And he gets to like get translated
now,
into like.
Please tell me they have a, he has a British accent when he's like very fancy.
No, I think it was like a robot voice actually coming out of,
that's also
of
funny.
The thing. But that's pretty good still.
Yeah, I wanted like, remember that
but,
episode?
But it was all a trick by the opposing team because they pretended it was in goodwill that they gave them a translator collar.
Right.
But then they started translating gibberish. So he'd be in the middle of telling the guys what play they were going to do, pass it over this way, and then they would just say nonsense.
Right.
Woodpecker, pillow, chumbawamba, like, and they literally just said random words. And then everyone was like, what are you talking about? Oh no, the ball's gone past us. It was very good.
That is very good.
It was like very 80s television, except in 2012.
Exactly.
It's so good.
That's what, if you like 80s cartoons, if you kind of miss that like...
Yeah.
Over the top, Gem and the Holograms, He-Man.
If you grew up with like,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Check out Super Strikers.
It's very fun. You'll be turned off by the animation because it's very cut out, but stick with it because, again, they have very, very high quality A scenes compared to their very low quality B scenes.
Yeah.
So the like dialogue scenes are just hot garbage. But
remember
then when they're actually doing soccer moves, like it's pretty good animation.
Remember that no one actually cares about animation except for us.
I guess so. Yeah.
Like animators are the only ones who actually give a crap about animation.
I guess so, yeah. Like I was just thinking how I was watching it on to the side of my screen while I was working and my friend Alex came up to me and she was like, oh, what are you watching? Oh, that's very limited, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I guess not everyone would even know to say that's very limited.
Most people would be
like, oh, that's ugly.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
In fact, most people would probably think it looked pretty good.
I guess so.
Because they're like full humans instead of cartoon
characters.
That's
another thing I like about Super Strikers is they're all very handsome.
They are all very handsome.
Very built arms.
Oh, they're so hot.
Very nice bodies. Yes.
And it's fun to ship them all because they all have little...
Yes. Oh, and one of the first episodes, one of the jokes is that they're on a beach. Remember, they're on a beach.
And the joke went nowhere. Continue. Tell her.
Yeah. And so the guy that doesn't really speak, Block, he appears and he needs to put sunscreen on. And El Matador, the Spanish guy, he gives him the sunscreen. And he's like, here you go, buddy. And then he sort of makes a weird gesture like, oh no, I can't reach my back. And so El Matador kind of gives him a look and is like, here, let me do that. And it like...
That's
cuts,
the joke.
It cuts to another scene and it's like, wait, are we implying that he's just rubbing his teammate down with sunscreen?
Which is a fine thing to do. Normal thing to do. But also, like, weird to, like, make a point of in your show in the first episode.
Yeah.
Which goes nowhere.
Like, I really want to make sure that you know they did rub each other down.
Oh.
The joke is that he probably wrote something on his back, like El Matador rules, but because of translation rules where you're not supposed to use words when it's going to be international.
What are you talking about?
Okay, in cartoons, so what we were watching was a dub. It was an English dub.
Oh.
This cartoon isn't made in English. I don't know what language it is made in.
I mean, Afrikaans, perhaps?
Maybe Afrikaans. I assume Afrikaans, actually. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know for sure.
But this has happened on productions that I've been on. They've been like, oh, we need to make the English language version of this sign where it says, ye old fish shop. But then we also need to make the international version of this where it's just a picture of some fish so people can put their translation over top or just not translate it at all and people will know, oh, there's a picture of fish. It's a fish shop.
Man, this is so inside baseball.
Yes.
Continue.
Okay, so what happens is El Matador, the next scene when we see them on the beach again, the joke is that he's drawn a picture of himself on Block's back.
Oh.
So that Block gets a suntan and it looks like El Matador.
But that was not
There was an actual joke. There's an actual punchline. He drew a picture of himself on Block's back.
Okay.
You know how you can draw a picture in sunscreen
and it'll burn in a certain way?
I get
the joke.
Yeah,
I'm just like, they didn't include the joke in the dub.
They did. It's a drawing, though. It's a drawing of himself.
When?
It comes later. it cuts to another scene. Maybe it's the bad guys doing their evil machinations. And then we cut back to them on the beach. And they're learning, oh no, we need to go back to practice. We gotta have a new game. And then you see Block for like a split second. And it's super easy to miss.
Yeah, I clearly missed
it. It was only on the second viewing when I was watching it with you. Because I'd watched it by myself and completely missed it. And then rewatched
it. So it's not just a weird thing that they did.
It's still super weird, but not as weird as it seems. There is a payoff. There is a punchline.
Okay.
The end result, though, is that, like, as soon as I watched that first episode, I was like, okay, I'm going to ship El Matador and Block.
Please,
for sure.
Yes, please.
So that brings me to my idea.
Oh, you have an idea.
I do have an idea.
I was going to say, we've stuck on the characters a little too long. We have to...
Yes, we do have to move on to
our story. We have to AU that garbage.
At large, yes. And because we have a group of like-minded individuals who travel all over the world, perhaps solving mysteries, maybe... Well, mostly they play soccer games.
Mostly they play soccer.
So they're a soccer
Occasionally
team.
Occasionally they solve soccer-related mysteries.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I suppose. So they are going to travel all over the world together. So what I'm figuring is Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
But instead of the mystery squad, the mystery gang, whatever they're called, the Super Strikers.
Okay.
They have to go to their next... soccer game, and they need to stay in this spooky hotel while they wait for the... And they solve mysteries.
And, okay, so are... While they're... The four other characters are the...
Other people in the hotel.
Other people in the hotel.
Yes.
And one of them...
But Jack Skellington...
Is probably the monster?
Yes. Well, Jack Skellington is the monster... Because he's a big, spooky skeleton.
Okay. And once they unmask him, it'll be
who
one
knows,
of the others.
Who knows who it'll be? Or if there is a mask at all.
Maybe
it's a real ghost.
Maybe it is
maybe
that
it's
Jack
a real
Skellington.
Monster.
You're right. Okay.
There's always that possibility in Scooby-Doo.
That's
but
true.
But what's also very good is that they can... So Shakes is the leader, of course. And he'll say, come on, gang. We gotta solve this mystery. Oh, no, we better split up. And then Block will go, retro, and El Matador will be like, oh, man.
Okay.
I guess
me
and Block will go over this way and, like, and they'll be very spooky.
I don't know, Scoob. I mean.
Yes, so Block and El Matador are Shaggy and Scooby.
Okay, yeah.
The big non-talking fella and his wacky sidekick.
I love it.
And Shakes is the regular old dude solving the mystery.
So we open with... The Super Strikers RV? They're
Oh, jet!
They're jet.
They do fly in a jet.
Okay.
Yes.
The jet lands.
X-Men style.
And they get off and go into this spooky mansion.
Yes. Well, their captain, Dancing Rasta. So
of
like
course.
We said, they have a very international team. And their captain is Jamaican. And they all have like team names, I guess? They're never really told their real names.
Oh, I assume those were the... I assume Cool Joe's name
was... is actually Cool
was
Joe.
Was first name Cool, last name Joe.
I forgot about Cool Joe. Oh, he's so good. Shakes, Cool Joe, their captain, Dancing Rasta. Their goalkeeper, Big Bo.
Let's simplify it a little bit.
Okay.
Let's go with Shakes, El Matador,
Block, and Cool Joe.
And Cool Joe.
Okay. He does like the funk. And also Dancing Rasta, but he will just appear in the beginning to tell them their mission.
Okay,
or rather to be like, yo, man, we gotta... He does have a very wacky cartoon Jamaican accent, so I'm actually doing a pretty accurate representation of it.
I mean, I feel like a lot of the accents are not done by the
yeah, no, not super
they're not,
accurate.
Yeah, they are definitely done by people that don't have those accents.
Yeah,
maybe
like
I'm
the
wrong.
Japanese guy on their team is speaking in a wacky Japanese accent with broken English. It does get a little cringy.
It's
a little cringy.
A little racist.
Mm-hmm, just a little bit.
But in that fun 80s way, you know?
That's right.
That
wacky
wholesome,
international way.
That wholesome racism.
The wholesome X-Men racism.
The wholesome X-Men Street Fighter racism that we loved.
We've all come
then,
to know and love.
And then, like, definitely cringe at and, like, don't feel very comfortable with anymore in the 2000s.
But then we become an adult and don't really want to think about it that hard.
Yeah. A gulp.
A gulp.
A gulp.
Anyway, so Dancing Rasta does tell them that we do have a soccer game coming up, man.
God.
He likes mountain climbing.
Yeah.
Which I kind of enjoyed.
That was his weird thing.
Yeah. I liked that it wasn't like, oh, I love to play the bongos or whatever Jamaican stereotype it was. It was like mountain climbing.
Yeah,
I
they all seems... sort of had their own thing that wasn't like specifically a stereotype.
Yeah, yeah. They actually felt like real characters to some extent.
To some extent. Simple characters. They were all pretty
one-dimensional.
Static.
Yeah,
one-dimensional.
Okay, so he tells them about this upcoming soccer game that they have in maybe the New Orleans Bayou.
Okay.
It's like a spooky place. Lots of mist.
What I'm going to say that Dancing Rasta is like, fellas, we have a soccer game tomorrow.
Mon.
You have to wake Mon.
we have a soccer game, Mon.
You have to wake up early tomorrow. Don't be staying up late.
Right.
Solving any mysteries or anything.
That's right. We don't have time to solve mysteries. I know you love doing that.
But... And you know, Shakes and El Matador and Cool Joe and Block are like, okay, we promise, we promise.
We promise.
And you know what?
But then a spooky skeleton appears in the night.
So Jack Skellington appears. Like, they're all curled up in their beds. They have the
who
little...
Who is the owner of the inn?
Okay, I'm going to
say... Is it Walter White?
Dick Cheney.
Okay, Dick Cheney owns the inn.
Dick Cheney is the owner of the inn.
What's it called? It's called Dick's Good Time Fellas...
Hotel
and Restaurant. And Resto Bar.
Resto Bar, okay.
Dick's Good Time Fellas Hotel and Resto Bar.
Dick's Good...
A-R. Good Dark A-R.
Yeah. And so...
Hey, fellas. Welcome to the Gdarkakak. That's my Dick Cheney impression.
Yes. It's great.
That's me, Dick Cheney. Waka waka. Time to shoot myself out of a cannon.
Wait, is he Fozzie or is he Gonzo?
He's a Muppet.
He's just a puppet.
He is a puppet. I maybe forgot to mention this. Dick Cheney is a puppet.
It's Puppet Dick Cheney.
Puppet Dick Cheney, yes.
Okay, so Dick Cheney is the owner of this mansion.
This spooky
haunted hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Shakes, you know, they come in and Dick Cheney's like, welcome to my hotel. What was the voice you did?
Waka waka.
Welcome to my hotel. And you know, like,
maybe he's like got a hunchback and he's shuffling a little bit.
Yeah, he's
it's
definitely
me,
got a hunchback.
Dick Cheney.
And so, you know, he gives everyone their keys and Shakes and El Matador and Cool Joe and Block.
Well,
Block
Shakes
all share a room.
Okay, the four of them will share a room. Okay.
And Shakes, they're going to the room and Shakes is like, that guy gave me the creeps.
Right.
And El Matador is like, you worry too much.
Yeah.
This is a regular hotel with nothing spooky happens, buddy.
Yeah.
And
Cool Joe says... what does Cool Joe sound like?
And he's a funky disco man.
Yo, man. Oh, yeah, he's just groovy a lot.
Groovy,
oh,
that's right.
But then, when he was signed to his record label, they changed his saying from groovy to kashazawow.
I know this is your favorite cartoon, Liz.
Okay, I'll stop doing
No one has watched it but the two of us.
Okay, fine. I will be saying kashazawow for the rest of my life. Forever till I die. Anyways.
So, our characters go to their room, and they put on their nightcaps.
That's right, and their sleep masks.
But late in the night, they hear, what's this? What's this? There's colors everywhere. What's this? Magic in the air. What's this? And, you know, it scares them.
Oh,
Shakes
man.
Jumps out of his bed. And El Matador kicks a soccer ball very well.
Like, super good.
Like,
yeah, really.
As good as you can kick a soccer ball.
Mm-hmm. So, what is this Jack Skellington villa doing? Is he just kind of being generally spooky?
I feel
rattling
like
a
that
chain,
is
maybe.
That is kind of what Scooby-Doo villains do. They don't really do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of be generally spooky. They try and scare people away from the hotel.
Right.
Or whatever our friendos are
hanging out. So El Matador does kick a soccer ball at him.
Okay.
And it goes right through him.
Oh my god!
But then he disappears.
He disappears.
And they go, what was that? And then the next morning,
The next morning, they don't go...
Like, there was this crazy thing in our room, man. I don't know who this is right now.
I mean...
El Matador, I guess?
Yeah, it's El Matador.
Yeah.
And so, Dancing Ross is like, that's ridiculous, Mon.
Mon.
I love doing... I love not doing the Jamaican accent, but Jamaican...
You gotta be Dancing Ross, though.
And it's like, that's ridiculous. I told you guys not to...
No solving mysteries.
No solving mysteries. But they're too committed.
Yeah. But then Jack Skellington appears to everybody.
No!
No, he doesn't?
I feel like our heroes are the only ones who know.
Okay.
And they're the only... So they go hunting mm-hmm. to solve this mystery.
Right.
And... But...
Oh, so they interview all the other guests at the hotel.
Yes.
Who is a very weird-looking little white man on two legs and no arms.
Yes.
Wearing a very stylish baseball hat, though.
And a star on his chest. Homestar Runner.
That's right.
So, is Homestar Runner... Why is Homestar in town? Why is...
Strongbad. That's what he says.
That's what he says. So, Strongbad.
He's on a diplomatic mission.
Okay.
To New Orleans.
He... From no... what is it? Free Country USA.
Actually, is that what they were there?
That's where they live.
Oh.
They live in Free Country, USA.
Maybe he's there for some sort of conference. He has to go to a con, like a convention.
Oh, okay.
Like the Star Chested convention.
Okay.
He hears that like Steven Universe is gonna be there.
Right, yeah.
Maybe some of the troll dolls. I feel like some of them maybe had stars on them.
Sure.
My Little Pony. Twilight Sparkle.
Twilight will Sparkle
be there.
Will be
she
there.
Does have sparkly stars on her,
yes.
her hindquarters. Her cutie mark.
That counts. Mm-hmm. A cutie mark counts.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, Homestar is in town for the Star Convention. The
yes.
Star Shirt Convention.
Yeah. Star Wearers.
Which United. I think is totally in character for something Homestar Runner would do.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, they interview him. What do they find out?
They don't find out a whole lot.
I suppose you don't find out a whole lot. From Homestar Runner.
No,
from
you do
to
find
Homestar
out
Runner.
What his favorite cool tapes are,
yes.
and maybe what his favorite diet soda is.
Yeah, that's about it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He might, I don't know, pour...
Jinkies! Did you see anything weird last night, sir?
And Homestar would say probably no, or... He would say something hilarious that's sort of a non sequitur, quite as non sequitur as Homestar...
Right, Homestar.
Homestar, sorry.
Right. Strongbird. Oh, I don't even remember what Homestar.
Homestar.
His little hat on his head.
Yeah, it flies around.
Homestar.
Yeah.
So Homestar Runner might be like, oh yeah, I did see something very weird.
Oh yeah, he would agree, and like all of the characters would be like, what did you see?
What was it?
And he would say something probably not that weird.
Pretty
normal.
Two sheets on the bed.
Yeah, exactly.
One for on top and one for on the bottom.
Exactly.
And I got all tangled up. Oh my god. I could not even get out of the bed.
And Cool Joe would be like, oh man, this guy doesn't know what he's talking
so
about.
Dumb.
He's the dumbest. So
Groovy, man.
Groovy, man. And then they'd go.
It's time to shake on out of here, boys.
And then they go interview Walter White.
Who is in the process of building some delicious meth.
Okay,
meth rock candy.
So, he's just a chemist, a meth chemist.
Yes,
in
a meth man.
And he's in New Orleans for...
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
Just to sell some meth.
Just selling some meth out here.
For a while.
So, okay, like, that's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shakes is like trying to get a beat on this guy
mm-hmm.
who's, like, weirdly hiding his chemistry set.
So the Supa Strikers enter his hotel room and he says, what do you want? What are you doing here? Get out of here. This is my lab. This is my secret private area.
Shakes knocks on the door and Walter White opens it and says, I am the one who knocks.
Yes. At the great Breaking Bad quote.
The great Breaking Bad quote. I am the one who knocks.
Jake says, oh, I'm sorry. And so Walter White does leave the room and then knock on the door and then go back inside the room and then open the door for them. He's like, now you can come in.
Now you can come in. And they come in and he's, like, clearly, like, his closet is kind of bulging open a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what's in your closet?
And there's a lot of smoke building
Walter,
out of it.
And the closet breaks open and chemistry supplies fall out.
So much chemistry falls out.
And it's,
oh, man.
And they get buried in...
Chemicals. And, like, liquids. Bases? Also acids.
And...
beakers?
And, you know, they leave Walter's room. Do they learn anything else about Walter White?
Yes. They learn that he's a very nice man.
Okay. He's a very nice man. He seems like...
seems like a pretty cool guy.
Straight
on
up,
the up and up.
Straight up dad.
Yep.
Great.
He had all those fun chemicals in his closet. I don't know what Walter White's all about. He has a pizza on his roof. Do you think he had a pizza? He shared pizza with all of them, I bet. It was really tasty.
Pizza with them.
And this delicious blue rock candy.
They do drugs with Walter
they
White?
They do, yes. I should have mentioned in the first place. They do get very high on meth.
Walter White never gets high on his own supply. Walter White.
He gets them hooked. And they are all drug addicts.
Oh.
It kind of takes a dark turn.
Yeah.
Because they are all hooked on meth now.
Okay.
They do need their supply.
So... They walk out of the room like, there's no way
that guy's great.
I love that guy.
Heisenberg. He's great.
Crystal Blue Persuasion. Oh, man, I am such good. So good. We love him.
Feeling great. Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Jack Skellington reappears.
Oh, no!
And they do a chase sequence where it's like...
Yakety Sax, I guess?
Okay, we'll play some Yakety Sax. Like, we'll embed Yakety Sax into fanfiction.net.
Okay, yeah, as part of the fanfic.
So make sure to press play on the QuickTime file so that Yakety Sax plays while you're listening.
Yeah, while you're reading this next part. Mm-hmm.
So they run and they enter into a door.
Yes.
In a hallway and they exit into a different door.
Yeah.
Jack Skellington enters that door and they exit a different door. And
then, of course, Sally enters through one of the doors from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Sally the doll.
Random
characters from
the rag doll appears. Yeah. And Scooby-Doo, of course, appears at one point.
At one point, yes.
Because this
probably
is
Stewie and Griffin and
of course.
Brian.
Of course.
Family Guy.
Who else should we...
the wackiest of characters.
I'm going to say...
maybe like...
Vin Diesel appears. He's just like...
Yeah, our favorite.
He runs out and he
flexes his muscles
and then he runs in through another door.
Uh-huh. Maybe Batman?
Batman.
Runs through.
He says, I'm Batman. And then he like shoots his
oh yeah. Shotguns away. Not shotguns.
He hook shots away.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. Everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny. And it ends with all
of the... And there
is
a laugh track going.
Of course.
At the same time.
And all of the cameos and our main characters run into each other in the middle of the hallway and jump up and run all the way because they're all scared, including Jack Skellington.
Mm-hmm.
And then we... where do we go from there? From the chase.
Do we leave the hotel to see what is out in the bayou?
Okay, so are the Super Strikers inspect the bayous? See, okay, how about they bump into Dick Cheney?
Yes.
And they say, like, El Matador says, like, Dick Cheney, is this place haunted? Have you heard anything about hauntings? And Dick says, like, oh, you know Jack.
You've met the Skellington Man.
You've met... the Pumpkin King. Why, they say that...
10 years ago this very night...
someone...
murdered a Skeleton Man.
That a Skeleton Man had a midlife crisis. And fell into the bayou. And...
was never heard from again. But you can still hear his... wailing screams and his dulcet tones of his Broadway voice echoing through the night.
So our heroes go and inspect the bayou.
Right. Where the body of the Skeleton King, the Pumpkin King, was last sighted.
Yes.
And they see if they can put his bones to rest.
Okay.
As they always do in Scooby-Doo,
of
right?
Of course, yes. Scooby-Doo and Castlevania are the same thing, right?
Yeah, and they have to light the bones with holy fire.
Did they find the bones?
Put a salt circle around themselves to ward off evil spirits.
I'm imagining Cool Joe is also an expert on...
He is an occult expert, yes.
Okay, good.
He's also
loves funk music and the occult.
A certified voodoo practitioner.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like...
I learned he's Brazilian, not American. I think the dub kind of played it fast and loose with their accents.
Yeah. I imagine at the beginning of all of Cool Joe's music videos, it starts with the same thing that Thriller starts with, where it says, mm-hmm. like, this music video in no way supports the occult.
Does Thriller start with that?
Yes.
Oh my god.
It's a quote from Michael Jackson saying,
talk about
like,
teen panic.
Yep.
Whatever you call that. Oh my god.
It had something to do with
cult panic.
Michael Jackson being a Jehovah's Witness and like,
oh my god.
Just thinking, not wanting to support the cult.
We do not worship Satan.
Yeah.
We are not part of the satanic.
Our funky dance moves have nothing to do with Satan.
That's right.
So, what do they find do they find Jack Skellington's bones? Or a skeleton's bones in the bayou? Okay.
Oh, yes.
So they find it, and they try to put it to rest?
Yes.
And, okay. So what does Cool Joe suggest for putting it to rest? Is it to bury the bones and then play some funk music?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, some very,
so Cool
very
Joe
funky.
Is...
Voodoo chants.
He loves funk music. That
and
is his
thing. He has a big
thing.
Afro with a comb in it.
Yes.
What, a pick?
A pick.
You know, those Afro
Yeah, an
things.
Afro pick.
He does have a band called Cool Joe and the Afros? What were they called? Cool Joe and the Afro?
It might be Cool Joe and the Fros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cartoon, very 80s.
Yeah.
But not from the 80s.
Not from the 80s.
Yeah. Very good.
So,
oh my god, remember when that woman willed her fro into existence?
That was very good.
I'll link it in the description.
check the show notes for the woman willing her fro into existence.
Yeah, through the sheer power of funk. Oh
yeah.
God.
Okay, so I imagine Cool Joe, you know, they do a burial service for the skeleton that they find.
Mm-hmm.
And Cool Joe brings Cool Joe and the Fros.
Oh, that's right.
And they play like a
funky jams.
They play like a funk version of funeral music. What do they play at funerals?
I don't know.
I'm imagining just the song they play for like
graduations or weddings.
I mean, yeah.
My brain first went to Auld Lang Syne, but I don't think that's a funeral march necessarily.
They play Vitamin C's graduation song, but a funky funk version of it.
Funky jams version of it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, as our lives change, tell whatever, we will still be friends forever.
That's my funky jams.
Yeah, you funked it up.
That was a guitar.
Yeah.
Know, with its distortion on it.
Yeah. And that's how they put Jack Skellington to rest.
Yes.
Or, so they think it's Jack Skellington. Is it? Does that put Jack Skellington to rest? I imagine they go back to the hotel feeling like they did it. They
saved the day.
And they walk in and... Are things worse now? I'm like, we have to up the ante a
Maybe
little bit.
Maybe they have to go play their soccer game.
Okay, so it's time for their soccer game.
Yes.
Okay, I like this.
And who is their rival team?
Well, I don't know if that's super important.
Oh, okay.
So they go to play their soccer game, and like, they start the soccer game, it's going okay, like they're winning, then all of a sudden, the ball starts moving on its own.
Oh no! Is it a remote control soccer ball?
Dancing Rasta is like, what is this? I told you guys not to solve any mysteries. What is...
What's happening now?
Is
it the evil rival soccer team Technicali when they built a remote control soccer ball?
No.
Ooh.
Because
that was a plot of one of the episodes. Because of course it was.
I believe you. I absolutely believe
you. But it's not that because Technicali aren't here.
It is not Technicality. A vision of Jack Skellington appears.
Oh my god.
And he's holding the ball and he says, kidnap the Sandy Claus. I guess he doesn't
put him in a bag.
He doesn't sing that one.
Okay.
Says,
oh yeah, right.
He says,
I'm so very sad. I wish I had. Do not feel so bad.
Yeah. And, you know, shakes. El Matador does the thing where he jumps up in the air and he goes like, whoa!
As cartoons do.
And then they chase the entire...
the entire Jack soccer Skellington, team.
Both soccer teams. Jack Skellington chases around the soccer
field.
Oh
my god.
And they go into...
So good.
They go into one exit of the field and come out another exit. And then they go into another exit and they go in... And it's,
yeah, come in one way and
come
out the other.
They do this gag again because...
It's just this. It's the same gag.
It's the best gag.
Yeah.
You can't chop that gag.
And all the same characters reappear. Yeah. Batman comes in one of the doors. And
Peter and Stewie and Brian.
And yeah, and the Scooby-Doo gang appears.
The Scooby-Doo gang.
It's all the same animation, too. They just reused it all.
They reused
it's
it. Change up the background.
Yes.
Hilarious. The laugh track is going nuts.
Oh, my God, yes.
We have embedded many QuickTime laugh tracks into the fanfiction.net file. So, they... okay. I'm going to say Shakes and El Matador come up with a plan to trap Jack Skellington.
Right. Ooh, in a soccer net.
In a soccer net.
Yes.
So, they go like, hey, Jack, you dummy.
Over here. Bet you can't catch us.
And of course, Jack
says, oh, I bet I can catch you.
I bet I can catch you.
That's right.
And he chases after them, and they get him in the net, and they knock the net over.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's...
Oh, no, I'm trapped.
I'm trapped in this net.
Huh. Now we'll see who you really are. And they grab his head, and they pull off the mask.
And
who
is it?
And lo and behold, it's...
Is it Homestar, Walter White, or Dick Cheney?
Oh, such a decision. Is it none of the above? Is it Dancing Rasta the whole time to teach them a lesson
about
solving mysteries on their soccer team
Instead of doing soccer.
It's like you wasted all of our time, man.
You shouldn't have solved this mystery, man.
I almost stole all the diamonds. And it turns out their soccer team was a front for a diamond heist the whole time.
Oh, okay.
It was Dancing Rasta the whole time.
All those New Orleans diamonds.
That's right.
That are very...
buried inside the bayou. Inside the alligator's tummies.
Ooh.
Yeah. The alligators eat the coal, and then it compresses in their digestion system. And you need to mine it from them.
Okay.
And that is what Dancing Rasta was trying to do.
Okay.
By scaring his own soccer team away
from the diamonds
so that he could mine all the diamonds from the alligator bellies.
Because Dancing Rasta loves diamonds.
That's right. It makes about
because
as much sense
diamonds
as a Scooby.
Are a girl's best friend.
Oh, that's right.
And best friend
are forever. Best friends are forever.
Forever.
But forever is a very long time. From the
Winnie the Pooh
movie.
And
Pooh's Grand Adventure.
Winnie the Pooh loves honey.
That's right. And
honey
is what bees eat.
And El Matador hates bees.
That's right. And so Dancing Rasta knew that El Matador would be like, bees! Oh no, bees! Diamonds and alligator stomachs and there's bees somehow. And oh no, I'm so scared. And El Matador does run away, very scared.
But he solves the mystery.
He did solve the mystery.
So, okay. This is what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shakes And Cool Joe and Block are like, El Mat, no, not El Matador, Dancing Rasta. Dancing Rasta's like,
Oh, you got me.
Mon. And then Walter White, Homestar, and Dick Cheney appear, and they're like...
I imagine they say something. Maybe something along the lines of, what are you guys doing? Maybe they all have a dance party?
I feel like they have a DreamWorks-style dance party.
Yeah. Maybe they sing like a karaoke greatest hits.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Of hits from the 90s.
Hits from the 90s. Cool Joe and the Froze. It's graduation song again. They do a reprise of graduation song.
Yes.
But it's a little more dancey than the last time.
Hey, everybody. Let's have a dance party.
And so everyone does a dance party, including Dancing Rasta in his Jack Skellington costume.
Oh, yeah.
In the net. He's kind of like shaking back and forth.
Shuffling a little bit.
As much as you can in a net in a Jack Skellington costume.
Yes.
And
then Block eats a very tall sandwich, like Scooby-Doo would.
No.
No.
El Matador makes a giant sandwich, and he goes to eat it, and then Block eats it before him, and then El Matador goes, chomp, and there's no sandwich, and he's like, Block!
You got me again!
And Block laughs and laughs.
Yeah.
And...
then they make out.
Then they make out, and it's so hot. It's really and everyone cheers. Walter White's like, yeah, make out with him! I am the one who knocks!
Happy ending is had by all.
It's really El Matador beautiful. Doesn't go to jail because no one presses charges.
Yeah, his plan didn't really make sense in hindsight.
It didn't work out very well. Turns out he didn't break any laws.
Yeah, you can dress up however you want and run around.
Yeah, it's not a criminal offense.
Yeah, to dress as a ghost.
And chase people, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's falls under just Halloween.
Turns out there's nothing in the books that says a ghost can't play on a basketball team.
Exactly.
Oh my god, so many loopholes.
Yeah. So...
a ghost can't play on a soccer team either.
So the Strikers go back to South Africa. All is well.
And they play
Walter
the best
White
damn
goes
soccer
back
team.
To...
Albuquerque,
thank you. Yep. Homestar goes back... To
Free Country USA.
Free Country USA.
Mm-hmm. And Dick Cheney goes back to Washington, I imagine.
I mean, he was also the owner of this hotel.
He goes back to the New Orleans Bayou.
Yeah.
To keep running his wacky haunted hotel.
And, you know, that's the end of it.
It's beautiful.
It's, like, kind of a non-ending.
Mm-hmm. But it's an 80s cartoon, so we do have to go back to the status quo.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, as much as I'm like... this story was kind of nonsense. 80s cartoons, kind of nonsense.
Kind of nonsense, yes.
So in that sense, I think we did it. I feel like we very much did it.
Very good.
I've been your editing manager, Spencer Suarez.
And I've been your managing editor, Liz Cernick.
And if you want to submit characters, submit them to ffwrshow@gmail.com. Remember.
From us to you.
From us to you. AU that garbage. I think we need to figure out a sign off.
Like a slightly longer sign off?
Should we try to riff a sign off?
Well, I don't mind when in doubt, just AU that garbage.
When in doubt, AU that garbage.
Yeah,
okay,
like from us from me to you, remember, when in doubt, AU that garbage.
Okay. Like add a little bit of
or maybe something like when writers block strikes, just AU that garbage.
Okay. I like that. When writer's block strikes, AU that garbage.
AU that garbage.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is garbage.
It is.
We all make garbage
all the time.
We all
make garbage.
And I love it all, and I want to ingest all of it into my body.
Here's the thing, artists. It's all garbage. Citizen Kane, garbage.
Pretty fancy garbage, but garbage.
War and Peace, garbage. The... Mona Lisa?
Beautiful garbage.
Beautiful garbage.
It's all a remix.
It's all a garbage remix. Everything is fan fiction, everything's a remix, and it's all garbage. Catch you next time.
On the flip side.
On the flip side.